Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have suffered losses beyond their wildest imaginings. Adrian Diesel has been murdered, lost trying to save his only friend in the world, Red, who was unable to avenge him due to a confluence of occult magic. Meanwhile, Richter discovered a dying Reinheimer alongside a dying king in yellow. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Red, you are in a room with an old friend. Currently being nudged by a very confused Sprinkles. The room itself still reeks of slowly rotting fish from the flayed deep one who's on the wall. And perhaps worst of all, the man responsible has disappeared due to a tremendously unfortunate dice roll. What's going on for Red in this moment?
I think what's going on for her is about 20 different plans and 20 different emotions all at once. And then just a single thought that kind of permeates through the whirlwind that is her brain, which is just, I want to burn all of this shit to the ground. And I think she's just going to wipe her bleeding face. She's going to take the knife. She's going to wipe it off on her shirt. She's going to put it like on her person in a pocket somehow. Mm-hmm. She's going to walk over to Adrian's body. Try to, and then she's going to attempt to pull him out of the room and into his bedroom.
Aw. We'll say that the phone call from Richter comes after you've done this. We were at a very climactic moment at the end of last episode, mm-hmm. so I wanted to get that beat in, but I also wanted to make sure we took a second. So, you know, like a TV show that jumps back a few seconds, I just wanted to give you the space for that. So you... deliver Addie's body to his room. You pull him up onto the bed. What do you do?
I would like to take his tuxedo jacket, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put it on.
On him or on you?
On me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look around the room for anything that looks like I should take it. As like a memento.
Can you roll me an spot hidden check? Mm-hmm. Like watching me actively shift gears from Vampire the Masquerade in mid sentence. Investigate hidden.
That's a hard success.
So as you're looking around for a memento, I think you kind of look around the room, but unfortunately, like, he hasn't really spent any time here as an adult at all. So instead, you're kind of as struck as you were the first time you were here by kind of the ghost of little, like, Addie Diesel, like the kid you remember. And in a way, there's kind of a comfort to that, because it's like that memory of him is so frozen in time that you don't find yourself mourning him because he's already gone. But you also feel a distinct absence of Adrian in it. I think speaks to the lifestyle that the two of you had. Mm-hmm. Very nomadic, very transient, on the run. The only home you ever shared was the sewer and your gang hideout. So you're a little disappointed to not find any kind of mementos of him in the room. But as you kind of are looting around, something falls out of your pocket. Ryan, would Addie carry a bill clip or a wad of money? You've been handing people $5 for a very long time. So what is the amount of money she finds in your pocket? Not like the number, but like what does it look like? What would have been?
I think it is a thick folded over wad that might be as thick as Addie's hand. Like, I don't think you ever realized how much money he physically had on him. And the answer is a lot.
Yeah. I'm imagining it the size of a wallet, but just made of money. just bills.
He's probably never said this aloud, but I think he's seen you steal enough stuff that he figured he'd be doing a good job if he just took every dollar he saw. So in an off-screen way, he was just always thieving, like through all of your adventures in town. Just whenever he saw a bill, he'd take it.
So in a way,
my cash register at the occult store.
Yep,
little bastard.
I had $10 I earned in here. Yeah, like the wildly successful curiosity shop.
Yeah.
Both my dollars are gone.
He stole so much at that bar while he was making bad soup.
Red, you're looking for a more permanent memento. You're thinking that maybe the jacket will have to do. But you also realize in kind of a bittersweet moment that even though he's gone, Addy Diesel found a way to take care of you even now. The phone rings. You answer it. You and Richter have the brief exchange you had at the end of our previous episode. Bringing, I believe we had a phone call at the end of the last episode. Did we not?
The phone rang, but I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I was going to call.
Great. Sorry, my mistake. In that case, oh shit. Then in that case, that's fine. We're actually just on time. So the phone has been ringing. Red, you haven't answered it because you needed to complete your ritual.
Oh, random thought I had. Adrian did have the narwhal. If you were looking to take something on a vengeance quest, it feels like that might be something Red may be drawn to.
Sure. Yeah. I think, like, weirdly, Red, I think for you, the gun isn't really a memento because you never associated it with him. If he, like, he named it and he had like a lot of big feelings about it, I think it's like just absently you just slide it into the pocket. And like, I'm kind of imagining similar to the knife that it's kind of like you're just kind of ripping through the bottom of the pocket. So it's not like a holster or anything. It's just you just slide it down and through
the narwhal. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If you would take it, I just assume like weapons lying around. Shotguns aren't really your thing, but
yeah.
Or would you leave it with the body? Also an option.
I think I would leave it with him.
Mm. Fair enough. Yeah.
I think I'll take his jacket and the money.
Great. Okay. So having put Adrian to rest, before you answer the phone, is there anything you want to say to him as he kind of lays in state? I also don't know that Red's a talking to the dead kind of person, so just want to give you the option, but
no, she's going to sit by him, and I don't even think she can look him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just going to reach out and take his hand and just sit there for like a solid 30 seconds. And then she's just going to stand up, go to the door, take one last look, close the door, and go find something to burn the house down.
Okay. Fair enough. The phone continues to ring. Richter, you're getting no response from the Diesel estate, which kind of makes sense. I feel like in Richter's world, Red and Adrian don't strike me as the kind of people you would reliably expect to be in one place long enough to answer a phone or do anything like that. But you do find it vaguely concerning. As the phone continues to ring, you start to get a sort of a fleeting sense of foreboding, which could mean something, could mean nothing. The phone rings through, and eventually I think you would you how long would you wait on the line?
Probably a little too long. Probably like, what's the average amount? Maybe 7 rings is when you're like, all right, they're not picking up. He'd probably be on that call for like 20 rings, like too long, and then just like it's not working, nothing's happening.
Great. So you place the phone back down and turn your attention back to the room. So without any way of immediately contacting your friends, you do have a few moments to investigate the scene a little bit. As you'll recall, you're looking at the gnarled and sort of almost desiccated body of Reinheimer. The sort of massive slouching corpse of the King in Yellow. Yes. The room itself is otherwise unremarkable. It's just kind of a standard motel room for that time, which I only know from TV shows and movies, but it's just that. Just imagine that. So second floor, again, there are chunks missing from the walls. A cool breeze blows through sort of rustling the curtains from the massive holes. You can hear the sounds of police sirens in the distance. What do you do?
I've got this device that Reinheimer handed to me, right?
Yeah.
He said, save Ingrid.
Amongst other things, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, that, well, that sticks with me, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, save someone else? I can't remember. Who's to say?
Yeah, it's a name that means literally nothing to you.
Yeah, so. No.
So the device itself, probably worth mentioning. Similar to the ray guns that you've seen, we're talking like classic, like 1950s sci-fi. So kind of like a small, almost the size of a portable radio. So just kind of a small little console. It has a large disc, kind of in the upper right corner. Again, like slick in that kind of torpedo way that 50s sci-fi always does with spaceships and everything else.
Yeah.
Stamped again with the sigil of the Fourth Reich. Which doesn't mean anything to you, but you recognize it as the same as what you found on your ray gun.
Mm-hmm.
What is remarkable about it is it has a digital display, which is something that you wouldn't be familiar with.
Digital clock display?
Yeah, that has a like similar to in Back to the Future how they have like the red digital display on the dash.
I don't know if I even know how to read that information.
I mean, I think it would just look like a date. So it's a digital display with a date. So it's just showing the date that Reinheimer told you the machine was pre-programmed to send you to.
Okay.
If you'll recall, his what he told you about the machine was that it basically, it's not like a full time travel device so much as it is almost a locator beacon that will pull, originally was meant to pull you and Reinheimer back into the future he came from to Ingrid to assist her, and that it's programmed specifically for that time and place. So it's not like, you know, a fucking ticket to ride. It's a one-way trip to a very specific place. Now, there may be a way back from there because obviously they have the technology to send people through time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is very much like it's a return pass. It's not like a... like a tethered return.
Yeah. 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 I get it. Okay.
In terms of the digital display, I think it would read as strange to you, but the numbers would be clear. So you would kind of have a sense of that. But
let me ask you this, Mr. McGee, what is the date on this display?
The date is in the new millennium. It is 2041.
Well, all right. Okay. God, save Hitler in 2041. Damn. I'm ready to leave. Whatever I do with this thing, I'll probably need Red and Adrian's help. So I need to go find
them. Did you want to examine? You've obviously like looked over Reinheimer. Did you want to look at the King in Yellow at all, or do you want to head out?
I guess only insofar as to make sure that he's well and truly dead.
Sure. Okay. So can you roll me, please? You know, that sweet, sweet mythos.
Mythos. Oh, I have that written here. Okay. Whoa. Oh, no, that's not good.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires with Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. Join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal, but all is not as it seems. And as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly. Ha, ha, ha.
It's 100. I got all zeros and I was like, great. Wait, hang on a second.
So a fumble, no less.
Yeah.
As you reach the, I assume tentatively approaching the King in Yellow.
Yeah.
You do that classic like horror movie thing where you just kind of like the camera's on your hand as you kind of reach forward turn it over. And it is like shot to shit. Like Reinheimer did a pretty fucking gruesome number on this thing. And you can smell kind of the charred flesh, that sort of oily smell. But you did roll a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
So as you do so, a tentacle whips out and shoots directly up your nose. Your vision blurs as you feel it touch your brain. And all you can hear is, they drove me like puppet. Kill, please. Hurts.
I'm going to reel back, just clutching my face and screaming.
Fair enough. Yeah. As you do, the tentacle kind of does that like flipping around thing, just like flecking some blood and slime as blood kind of trickles down your face. You're going to take
Oof.
4 points of damage and 2 points of sanity loss.
No. We are almost at the end of the line for
Danger Zone.
Yeah, do not literally. Make me fight this thing alone, Richter.
Sorry, how much health was that? Losing 4 points? Yeah.
Yep. However, looking at it now with kind of the glimpses you've seen, you can see that its face is twisted in agony, but not the kind of as you're like screaming and backing away. But with horror, you realize that it's not agony from being shot. It almost seems like it was driven around the way you were back at the museum.
Got it. Okay.
So with that, you can hear the sirens getting closer. The thing is still like twitching. You can tell it's clearly dying slowly, but at this point, I don't think you're going anywhere near that fucker.
Nope.
You kind of back out into the street and slip away as the police cars arrive from the alley that you step into. You notice that it's two very kind of like bedraggled looking cops who get out. You find it strange because normally there would be two cops in each car, but they look kind of disheveled, almost half dressed. You just hear one of them say, "Well, it seems like this whole town's going to shit. I can't believe it. I can't believe how many of us." Fuck, I didn't sign up for this. I'm missing Capone more every day. And the two of them start moving into the motel.
I'm going to wait for a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just to act on what my sanity is at currently,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get into their cop car and drive away.
Amazing. So free vehicle, why not?
Yeah.
Wheels are good for anyone.
Yeah.
You get in and begin to drive away. No one chases you because there are not enough cops to do it, and they're inside looking at horrors. Honestly, you feel pretty good. This has been a decent day. Reinheimer's dead, King in Yellow is dead, and you got yourself a new car. Everything's coming up, Richter. Which is when the hand of Benny Jones digs its fingers into your thigh and begins to squeeze with a firm, almost like vice-like grip. With blinding pain, the wheel begins to slip. Meanwhile, Addy, you're in a large, dark space, and you can hear whimpering. Now, you've been part of a variety of strange experiences over your time. And clinically, if something's whimpering, it must mean you're not alone, which is pretty good. So at least you've got that going for you. You're a little bit confused as to where you are and why you're here. You briefly remember seeing that tall fellow seemingly slipping away. And then you felt a feeling of sort of wind and of suction. And now you find yourself here. The man begins to sort of the whimpering gets closer, and you see a man emerge from the darkness on his hands and knees. And he just says, Oh, thank God. Thank God. Hey, we found it. We found another one. Guys, come over here. And a few more figures kind of tentatively make their way kind of out of the darkness. The man says, did you bring his donkeys? His donkeys are very important. You clear your throat and realize that you're a little clogged up down here. You push the glasses up your little nose and respond.
Oh, I'm young him. Got it. What?
The donkeys. Did you bring his donkeys?
No. Was I supposed to bring donkeys? No one told me I needed to bring donkeys. Also, oh. Where are we? Who are you? Why is everyone whimpering?
Yeah, okay. Hang on. Wait. Come here. And he gestures to everyone, and he just kind of points, and suddenly there's a sort of a blinding light above you, and through it you can see the world. And then it disappears and reappears. And Addy, young Adrian Diesel, you recognize blinking, and you're pretty sure you can see through someone's eyes. And the man turns to you and he just says, we're inside him. We're all trapped in here. The one who eats. His name is Wackadoo Willie.
Tom, do I remember getting eaten? What's Little Addy's version of events that got him here?
Little Addy's version of events is you remember wind and suction, and that's it.
So I this is a weird question, but like, do I remember the church or my childhood? Like, where does Little Addy's memory go from?
Your memory to this point is you remember the church. You remember your brief interactions with your other self. Okay. So you met him twice. So you kind of know that you've been floating around a liminal space for a bit. But other than that, you don't know anything. You don't know anything about what's going on in Helmfirth. You don't necessarily know anything about, like, your memory is basically like church, couple interactions.
Here. Now. Yeah. All right. So if he's got a mouth, then he's got to have a butt, right? We go find his butt and we can climb out.
A little old lady kind of creaks out from near the back. She's like, I told you the bot, and everybody didn't listen, but the bot is where we need to go. It is the sneakiest way to escape.
Okay, I don't know anybody, and I'm not supposed to trust strangers here, but that lady seems to make the most sense. So everybody who thinks we should go find the bot, raise your hand.
And like,
and he raises his hand.
Yeah, people start to. You seem like you've got glasses, which immediately makes you like more trustworthy and reliable in the 1930s. They all start to kind of raise their hands. The man just says, okay, but we must be careful. I think he's saving us for later. A couple times we've heard him swallow real hard and someone's just disappeared. So we need to be careful. If he knows we're up to something, he might just consume us for good, you know?
Okay, then everybody has to keep our new butt thing very secret, okay? Nobody talk about it and nobody needs to share. Everybody cross your heart and hope to die.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. Everybody cross your heart and hope to die. We will escape through the bot.
Okay, at which point, there's a rumble. You just hear a voice kind of boom and echo through this space that just says, oh, snacks, no.
No, you shouldn't be acting up down there, Snacks. This is a bad idea. You know, I've been feasting pretty well, but, you know, I think we could do with a few less snacks for later.
And you hear a gulp, and this gulp, like, rocks you. Like, it's all around you. It's full THX 3D sound grossness. And half the people disappear.
Okay, so nobody else talk.
Can you roll me a stealth check, please?
Yes. Tom,
So unbeknownst to you, dear friends, Ryan has created a new character sheet.
Oh.
We have a new Adrian Diesel of a sort.
So for stealth, Tom, we can either reduce the difficulty level by one, or I can gain a bonus die.
Get that bonus dice, buddy.
So does that mean, what do I just get to roll three dice and combine two of them?
Yeah. Great. You roll three. The tens are the advantage die. So
okay,
you can re-roll, basically take the best of the tens and then
great
ones.
And that is... that is a success.
Okay.
Very close to a hard success, but a success.
Okay. As people begin to creep around in search of a butt of some sort to escape from, you can... you particularly, the others don't seem to be able to hear it, but you can hear a little bit of Willie's inner monologue. Like, he seems to almost be muttering to himself, and no one else seems to be picking up on it. You can also feel the vibrations around you. And when you saw the swallow happen, no one else seemed to react. They didn't seem to be able to feel it the way you did. Mm-hmm. So you can see everyone kind of feeling around in the dark. It really does feel like you're in the bottom of a pit. But it also doesn't seem like you're actually necessarily in his body. And I think given your experience with the Mystery Punchers and the way you think about things, you also have the advantage of being a child. So I think you're able to just kind of accept the reality of what's happening a lot faster than these other people who've been trapped here for a while. So it's becoming abundantly clear that this isn't a physical space so much as it is some kind of mental scape. You can see out of his eyes, you can kind of hear him. And can you roll me a... Let's go with spot hidden, I guess.
Makes sense to me. Let me check. Oh, I get to add a bonus die to spot hidden as well. Wow. Oh, I will take. That is a hard success.
Every so often, in addition to the eyes that you can see out of, and anytime you see, you catch a reflection, you can see yourself, the others. It seems like the eyes are truly the window into the soul. But now you can almost see a seam where his mouth would be. And you're not sure if the others can see it, but you can.
Okay. Knowing he's a kid, he'd look around. He realizes, okay, these clearly aren't real bodies. This is kind of weird. I think he would focus really hard and see if he could fly.
You can. You begin to drift upward. Here's my question. Would you be trying to do this quietly, or would you be alerting the others to the fact that you can do this?
Quietly. The grandma talked too loud, and then a bunch of people got eaten, so yep. He's got to be, like, responsible.
So I need you to please roll me another stealth check. Same deal with the advantage.
That is an extreme success.
The others seem much more solid from this vantage point as you begin to float upward. You're beginning to wonder if there's something different about them and you. And as you kind of come to this realization, your own sense of shape and form begins to fall away. You begin to realize that you're not a physical shape in here at all, but an essence, the essence of little Addie Diesel, who was lost so long ago. And as you hit the edge of this mouth with an extreme success, I'll skip the second die roll. you realize that if they may be physical people trapped in here, but you're a spirit. You can likely slip out, or you can try and go back and help them. What do you do?
He's got to go back and help these poor people. Maybe he can lead them to the mouth.
All right. So with that, with kind of, it's that classic jailbreak thing where like you get there, you realize you can get there, you know, you can get there again. And then kind of Caspering yourself up, like puffing up your chest a little bit, trying to think of that like big guy that you saw a few times who seemed like a kind of like a cool, tough version of you, which is a way you never felt really, but that, that maybe you could be. You begin to drift back down to see if you can help these poor trapped people either find the butt or find a mouth from which to escape. Red, how do you burn down the diesel estate?
I think, I think she's just going to go to the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And just set it on fire from there. Whether she pulls material from the couches and places it on the stove and sets it ablaze. And
sure. Yeah. So we'll just say there's like a quick sort of montage of you like dragging stuff into the kitchen and like stacking it up.
Yeah.
With that, as you see the first embers beginning to kind of alight in the mattress, you make your way out of the diesel mansion for the last time. Red, can you roll me a spot hidden, please?
Mm-hmm. Oof. Oh, okay. Well, it's not quite a fumble, but that's a 92.
You kind of walk away from this house that at some point did feel a bit like a hideout, at least the most you've had to this point. And from a safe distance, you kind of turn back to watch the house as the flames begin to spread further throughout the building. And one by one, the meticulous, beautiful, jeans financed, curtains and everything else begin to catch flame. Smoke begins to billow out of the windows, and gradually the house begins to ignite. And you stand and watch as all traces of your friend and his legacy burn away, completely missing the disheveled man watching you hungrily from the bushes. You watch the house burn, and for the first time, you're well and truly alone.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hampstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters,
Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire Unfriendly, Logan, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Space. Multiverse. Stars. One stars. One star reviews. Join Negative Nancy and Chatbot aboard the Space Windu as they bring you the worst one star reviews from all across the universe.
I'm supposed to say that we promise to bring you the very best one star reviews from all across the multiverse. But you know what? I don't believe it. I don't believe that for one second.
I'm rating my driver Marcus one star. Not for his driving ability, but instead for his disloyalty and cowardice.
Lackluster moon vacations. A can of beans. Abandoned malls. Cat beds that don't come in human sizes. Dragon stuff. Come have a laugh back at the one-star reviewers. Listen to the one stars wherever you get your podcasts.